Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday, Victory Monday. A couple of touchdowns for Kayshon Booty yesterday, Keefe.
Yeah, look good.
I like one of the answers Hunter Henry gave us earlier today. You were asking him about, you know, different guys stepping up week to week. It had been Diggs the last couple of weeks. Booty had the big game week one. He had a touchdown week two. Pop Douglas made some plays yesterday. Yeah. Henry's had some big games mixed in there. And he's like, well, yeah, that's what a good offense does. Good offense, different guys step up. They try to take different guys away.
Like, oh, that's right. We haven't seen that in a while.
I didn't.
It's been a long time. Like. I mean, all those numbers, you know, that Steph Diggs was, he's the first guy since Edelman in 2019 to have back-to-back 100-yard games in the same season. And you think about modern NFL, how many receivers end the year with 1,000 yards? They also haven't had one since 2019.
Right.
But just 200-yard games. I mean, those are good games. Don't get me wrong. 100-yard game is a good game. But like for it to take six seasons for that to happen, like, no, we're not really used to watching this.
It's true.
Before it was like all the time, you know, especially as, you know, when Tom Brady, 07 on, it became like video game numbers and you would have, you know, multiple 1,000-yard receivers that felt like, and you'd have guys with double-digit touchdowns and like the insane numbers Gronk and Edelman and Welker and Moss and all those guys would put up. And then it's been a while. But, no, the fact that Kayshon Booty is capable of like a game like yesterday, or even go back to the Bills game. Not a great game, but an awesome catch and like a huge grab.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like Drake May now has way more guys he can count on than he doesn't. Like, even if he had one guy he was comfortable with, I'd be like, oh, that's one more than last year. But now it feels like three guys. I'm not going to put Pop on there yet. He had a good game yesterday and some good broken plays and should have been a second touchdown. But I think Diggs, Booty, and Henry, Drake May feels like if he needs a third down throw, he can go to any of those guys and he's going to get it.
And he's had good chemistry with Booty.
Yeah.
And you really think about it. You saw it late last year. We saw it in the offseason as well. He started pretty far down the depth chart when Vrabel first got here.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, Vrabel called him out for conditioning early on when he was here. And, you know, Booty was, what'd you call him, the octopus? With like all the bets he had on himself.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
He had like an 8-leg parlay on himself.
He did have an 8-legger. Did not hit,
and
sadly.
He talked about some of this after the game. He's like, yeah, you know, I had some character concerns, some off-field stuff, and I was the number one
receiver.
He
thought he was going to be a first-round pick, and then a sixth-round pick.
I fell to a sixth-rounder, and I give him a lot of credit for where he started, specifically with this new coaching staff. Never mind all the other stuff in his past, but specifically with this coaching staff. Down the depth chart. And they bring in some new names, some new receivers, and in Diggs and Hollins, and Pop Douglas was higher than him on the depth chart.
Yeah, he's moved past. I mean,
they drafted Kyle Williams.
Well, even last year, Polk and Baker, and like going in, like draft status wise, those guys were both drafted higher than Booty, but he's so much better than
them. When we were talking about him in the offseason, we had him lumped in with those guys. It's like, probably won't even make the team.
People are like, oh, well, Efton Chisholm. Like, now you got Efton Chisholm over him?
Behind Kendrick Bourne, who, by the way, had another good week. And they moved on from. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was behind a ton of guys in what looked like a pretty pedestrian receiver room, and he has just consistently worked his way up it, which I think is a credit to him. Speaking of those numbers, Keith, this one's not, it doesn't pop quite as much as first 1,000-yard receiver since Julian Edelman.
No.
Booty became the first Patriot to score multiple touchdowns.
I'm listening.
Of 25 or more yards.
Okay.
In the same game.
Right.
Since Philip Dorsett in 2019.
I would have said Dante Stallworth.
So another
deep threat.
Another stat that we haven't seen since Brady was here, just to put it a different way.
Scoot.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick.
Sometimes. He didn't always catch it so high.
No.
But he can scoot.
No, kind of a lousy receiver overall.
So I give Booty a lot of credit for that, and I give Drake May credit for spreading the football around, and we were worried, all right, is Stephon Diggs going to let down in this game? And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. 151-yard catch where he maybe or maybe didn't push off up the right sideline on a third and long could change the outlook on Diggs' day quite a bit.
Oh, definitely.
But, okay, fine. Diggs dropped off. And if you told me going into the game, Steph Diggs is going to come out with three catches for 28 yards,
yeah,
I'd be like, oh, maybe they don't win this
game. They might not win.
And if you coupled that with they didn't run the football.
They can't run.
So maybe if he had three catches for 28 yards, I go, okay, well, they must have run all over New Orleans. And the answer to that is nope. And they still won? Yeah, I think I would have felt pretty good about that if you told it to me before yesterday's game.
Yeah, no, I think so. Because, I mean, Diggs had awesome back-to-back games. And I was like, we even made this prediction, I think, last week. Like, Diggs might not have another 100-yard game for 5 or 6 weeks. Like, I don't think he's going to do that all the time. I think he is more of the 750, maybe 1,000-yard guy. He's not like a 1,500-yard receiver anymore. Like, you're not going to roll out of bed 100 yards and a touchdown, which is like what he did every week with the Bills for like three straight years. So he's not that, but he still has some of that left in the tank. And it just feels like, all right, teams see that. They're probably going to spend a lot of time, a little bit more attention on Steph Diggs, which then leads to Kayshon Booty. And we played the clip earlier. I love when Drake May was saying one-on-one means you're open in the NFL. So anytime a receiver, any of their guys get lined up with one-on-one, he'll try to find that matchup and get him the ball.
Well, I think Booty said, too, he's like, I'm pretty good in those contested catches. Okay. So it's like, you know, he didn't
well,
go.
Well, they are. I mean,
is it the Devontae Parker? I was just going to say that. Ball?
He didn't go Devontae Parker, where he's like a 50-50. He's actually 80-20 for me.
For the defense?
Whoops.
Yeah.
But he's like, nah, I think I'm pretty good in those settings and may clearly trust him in those settings.
Well, right. And like, he averaged 18.6 yards a catch, and he was also 5 catches on 5 targets. So it's like, you're not just dinking and dunking when it comes to Kayshon Booty. And he completed every throw he had to him. 2 touchdowns, massive first down in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, that was a good game. That was a signature game for him.
It was. And that was a good challenge, as we said earlier, by Vrabel on that catch. Okay, that's some positivity on the Patriots and their offense, their wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Let Mike Reese be the bearer of bad news.
Oh, no.
I was shocked when I read this yesterday.
Oh, boy.
ESPN kind of does a roundup of all the games. The beat writer who covers the local team will then have a few thoughts on it, right?
Right. Yeah.
So this wasn't like in his game story. This wasn't in a column after the game, any of that. His first bullet point after the Patriots win yesterday in New Orleans, are the Patriots putting too much on Drake May? The lack of a consistent run game made the Patriots one-dimensional as the offense relied on May's arm and a growing knack for making clutch passing plays when things break down. The silver lining, Reese says, is that the team's pass protection has improved to a point that airing it out can still be a winning formula, with May's scrambling ability producing unscripted rushing yards. But the glass half empty view, Reese, so negative.
Yikes!
But the glass half empty view is that a team playing in the Northeast is likely going to need to run the ball later in the year when the weather turns cold. How big of a problem is their running game or lack of a running game?
Yeah, I think it's a problem. Now, I think if Drake May is as good as everybody thinks he is, he may be able to overcome it. You know, you look at Cincinnati, for example, and everyone's sort of pointing to them now because that whole offense is Joe Burrow to Chase and Higgins, and they have no running game. They have no running game to speak of. And then you take Burrow out, and you're like, hey, we got to run the ball. It's like, we can't. You can't. Like, they're in trouble. But if the quarterback's that good, you might be able to get away with it.
Right. High-end comp, Mahomes.
Mahomes.
The Chiefs cannot run the football. Mahomes is their leading rusher.
Yeah.
But Mahomes makes up for it because
Seattle doesn't
run
the ball great, and Sam Darnold's having a really good year. Pittsburgh, and I know we were surprised to learn this because I think they had a couple of good running games. But overall, Pittsburgh has worse stats, average yards per game, average yards per carry than the Patriots. And Aaron Rodgers has lost one game so far. Now, they're 4-1. They've had a bye week in there. But still, like, there are a few teams that the quarterback's the most important player, right? And that, we've made this case a bunch about if you're going to get a lot out of Drake May or if he's going to be a hit of a pick, he shouldn't have to have everything else around him be good. Otherwise, just get any quarterback. Get a regular quarterback that's NFL caliber, and if he has 10 all-pros with him, he'll be fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But if you don't and you have to overcome something, well, that's where the great quarterback can sort of carry that team. So it needs to improve, but also he's looked like he can kind of handle it. So obviously you want everything to be better than what it is, right? But I don't think it's the end of the world. I think, you know, ideally he's not your leading rusher, because that means that none of the other running backs were able to get any kind of thing going, and they kind of struggled, and or there was like a little bit of a, you know, a round table of different guys getting a crack at it. But I think you can get by with that, and I think you know, he's kind of proven it over the last several weeks.
I also think you should be able to figure that out, right? In season,
it's got to be a lot easier
than fixing your pass game in the middle of the year. Like, I feel like they've done the more difficult thing. And we got the caller earlier who's like, well, how come there's no criticism for Doug Marrone? I'm like, I think on balance, Marrone, they need to fix the run game, but they're protecting in the pass game way better than I thought. Way better. So I think that's why you don't hear any flack for the O-line coach. They're protecting May pretty well. And I'd have to imagine the easier thing to fix in season is the run game, but they got to fix it. Because yesterday, the rushing was brutal. Drake May was their leading rusher, 28 yards. He was their leading rusher on yards per carry, too, 3.1. And that factors in kneel downs at the end of the game that knocked him down.
Yeah, right.
Travion Henderson was 3 yards a pop, 9 for 27.
Nah, not good enough.
Ramondre Stevenson.
How'd he do?
13 for 18.
Terrible.
With a
just
long
fall down forward, you're probably going to get that.
A 7, which I don't remember. When the hell did he get a 7-yard carry?
I don't remember the 7. Well, I think I was so focused on him not fumbling that he probably carried the pile for a couple yards, and you're just like looking at it, and you're like, oh, thank God he held on to it.
Well, and you said this earlier. The guy, Ramondre icing out the game, quote-unquote.
He's not
running anywhere, but it is horrifying.
Was the 7 the very first carry of the game?
Good question.
Immediately lost like 4?
No idea.
I thought that was a 5-yarder off the rip, but either way, it was probably something like that. But then there was just nothing doing. At some point, it has to be on the backs. Like they're not doing anything.
So if you're asking me whose fault, I do think it's the running back's fault. We read you some of those numbers from Phil Perry last week. Next gen stats, space created or yards before contact created. The offensive line isn't great,
no,
but it's middle of the pack. I think they were 14th in the NFL. The backs and all of those advanced analytics are bottom of the league.
But Henderson looks like a different player than camp and preseason.
He glitched out.
He did.
He glitched out in his pass blocking.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's affecting him, because he went in and everyone's like, oh, he's such a good pass blocker and he doesn't need to redshirt like James White and Shane Vereen. He's going to hit the ground running. And then he was bad at that. Everybody's losing playing time because he can't pass block. And now I wonder if he's just in his head. And he's like so worried about where he needs to be, like what the plays are, that he can't even just play.
Vrabel had his press conference earlier today. He talks to Greg. I want to play you something from that coming up. But Vrabel had his press conference earlier today, mm-hmm. and he was asked about that. Is Ramondre, not Henderson, but is Ramondre in his head too much?
Well, yeah, both
because
of
the fumbling.
Like
Vrabel's like, yeah, I think they are. I think those guys are, which is how it looks.
They need to give somebody else a crack.
Meanwhile, Vrabel was asked about, a lot of things. It was about Drake May and his development and his relationship with Josh McDaniels and who gets credit for how Drake May is coming along. And Vrabel answered this in a couple of different parts. But let's hear the first chunk about who deserves the most credit. Is it McDaniels? Is it May for Drake May's year two development?
Well, I would say that the credit goes to Drake. That's what it all of these go to. It's not going to go to anybody other than the player that's doing that and improving and understanding and making the plays. His ability to throw off platform and extend and keep his eyes downfield. You know, there were some things that we asked him to work on that Josh and Ashton asked him to work on coming out of Buffalo. I felt like he tried to do that. And then when he had to extend, have the ability to extend. But I think his receivers, I think he trusts those guys. I think he trusts to spread it around. I think he, you know, doesn't mind, you know, giving them a chance and putting it in some place where they can get it. And so I think that's a great combination between Drake's personal development and trust in the receivers.
Okay. So Drake deserves a lot of credit. His trust in the receivers, they're coming along really well. Oh, by the way, Josh and Ashton.
Yeah.
Ashton Grant, you're going to hear more from him. asked him to work on some stuff after the Bills game, and he did. So he was asked directly about Josh McDaniels, and he wouldn't really give any credit there. He kind of finished his answer, and I think you'll hear Greg start to ask a next question. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I meant to answer your question about the relationship between Drake May and Josh McDaniels. Yeah. So here's how that went.
Oh, okay.
When you were thinking about taking this job.
And I think the relationship, you talked about Josh. I think the relationship is great. I think, you know, we have a young quarterback coach that we feel very strongly about in Ashton Grant. And I think he serves a different purpose than Josh. Josh has one relationship with the quarterbacks, and I think Ashton has another, and I think that's a good dynamic. I think Josh continues to put things on their plate, and especially Drake.
Okay.
Good plate talk once again. Circle back to that. That might be an all-season thing. Yeah,
more plate talk. You're right.
Him bringing up Ashton Grant. So Ashton Grant is a young assistant, quarterback's coach. He was in Cleveland last year working with Vrabel.
Yeah.
So he's a very Vrabel guy, as are really all the guys.
Basically every single coach not named Josh McDaniels. Yeah.
Right, like everybody's brought in. And, I mean, most of the years, I would say, I haven't gone back and looked at this, but most of the years Josh McDaniels was offensive coordinator for the Patriots, he was also the quarterback coach. And so this is a little bit of a different dynamic. One thing that Vrabel has been consistent with, though, all year long is anytime he's asked about a player and like if they do well, like he gives the players credit. Yep. He's not giving himself credit. He's not giving any of the defensive assistants credit, the offensive assistants. But it is just something that is curious, like this relationship, how it's going to go. When you're winning, I think it's easy to be fine. He even made a comment about that later on, about something else, but I think it applies to this too. So they're winning. It's rolling right along. But it is odd. He got to pick his entire staff. We don't think he really got to pick him. And now Drake May's doing really well. And, you know, how much of that is Josh McDaniels? How much of that is the whole operation? How much of that is the player himself? Like, all that comes into question.
Well, and just, again, does it mean anything at the end of the day? Maybe not. I mean, the offense is, I think, rolling on some levels. It wasn't great in the second half yesterday. They're not running the football well. But in general, I feel pretty good about the offense. So it may not matter. But just know, he was asked directly and even circled back directly to a question asked about Josh McDaniels, and multiple times he brought up Ashton Grant, the quarterback's coach, the good cop to McDaniels' bad cop, it seems,
yeah,
who Vrabel has keep pointed out, brought with him from Cleveland, and he made sure to let you know it was about the players, which he's done consistently, and not the coaches, on a question about the coaches, specifically the one he didn't hire. So make of it what you will, read into it what you will, but that's what happened this morning on Greg's show. If you missed any of Mike Vrabel, by the way, check it out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. Just use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app to go back to listen to Mike Vrabel. You can also catch Drake May today at 4 o'clock on WEEI Afternoons, part of a Patriots Monday. You can listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Matt's in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? That officiating crew from yesterday, they have averaged 18 penalties called in this previous 5 games. That was really something else. Yeah, good for Booties. 2 touchdowns going back to New Orleans. But first time Henderson touched the ball in preseason, I'm sure you guys remember, 100 yards to the house. I immediately put a bet in for him to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. But anyway, do you think
What's the cash out option on that? Yeah, you might want to bail.
Yeah, that's not looking great. But obviously, doesn't sound like they have anyone in the practice squad. Obviously, you mentioned like try to trade for a running back on a bad team, but you got undrafted free agents, rookie free agents. I mean, they got to start working some guys out behind the scenes. They got to get some guys in there. Thanks.
Yeah, they worked out a kid from Miami who was drafted by Seattle. So he was a 7th-round pick, I think, but he was actually drafted. He wasn't an undrafted guy. They worked him out last week. I know some of the beat writers, our guy Taylor Kyles included, were kind of buzzing about him. I think Phil was as well. I hope they aim a little higher than that.
They make a trade.
But you should be able to upgrade that position and fix the running game. And I wonder if part of the reason Vrabel is hesitant to give McDaniels a whole lot of credit is they suck at running the football. And I don't know. We can give I know the McDaniels mafia wants to. We can give McDaniels a lot of credit for what he's done with Drake May. Maybe Drake May is just pretty good. And the offensive coordinator, whoever it is, just along for the ride with Drake May. And maybe Vrabel looks at it where he's like, well, we have the quarterback. Fix the running game, Josh. And then maybe I'll give Josh some credit. But in the meantime, May's pulling plays out of his ass. He's hucking it 50 yards downfield every play. and my offensive coordinator can't seem to fix the run game.
Yeah.
Where we're running draws on third and long down in field goal range, which sucked. We run on first down pretty much every time in the second half, run into the middle of the line for nothing, pretty much every drive in the second half. And I wonder if that's some of his agitation, if there is any, with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, because it feels like, you know, going into the year, we thought the running back position might be the strongest of the offensive positions, and it's the worst. Like,
yeah, what were we calling it?
The Cerberus backfield. Many, not just us,
many
everybody.
People were calling
Cerberus
it.
Yeah, backfield. And obviously one of the heads has been removed.
It's been lopped off.
It's been lopped off, yeah, which is sad and tough to go through. But you might want to add somebody. You know, it was just, what, 3 years ago, Christian McCaffrey was an in-season trade. And so, like, that was a big-time trade, a big player going from one team to another in a contending-type team. And that's another part of this whole thing, is if the AFC is as wide open as we all think it is, and you're off, your quarterback is playing even better than you thought that he might in year two, it might be the time to take advantage of that. And the deadline's whatever it is, 3-4 weeks. You have time to do it, but take a look around, see who's out of it, and be willing to make a big swing. Like, we had a caller mention Nick Chubb. Yeah, okay. 4 years ago, that would have been a big swing. Now it's like another guy to add to the backfield. I don't know if that really changes things, but maybe there's somebody out there that we haven't even really considered that might cost you a couple draft picks. You might have to pay him a few bucks.
Yeah, and
but it might be worth it.
Regardless, even if you're not aiming that high, and I'm fine with aiming that high, even if you're not, that you can upgrade your room. You can get another body in the room.
Oh, 100%.
And it looks like you're going to have to, because Ramondre doesn't have it. And when he does have it, he's fumbling everywhere.
Henderson is just.
And Travion Henderson has shown zero.
Yeah.
Zero to this point.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.